For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Joe, I would say that, we are live. We are not. This is going to be premiered watching live. But nevertheless, we are technically, I guess, live on the channels, but in a pre-recorded type of setting. Good evening, good sir. Well, late into the evening. How are you doing here today?
Yeah, first time in a while we've done an early morning taping. Probably might do a couple more of these during the off season just because of scheduling and whatnot. But holy crap, we have so much we have to talk about. Like, this is, I kind of like the idea that we decided to record today and not push to tomorrow because the amount of realignment news and then also nonsense with Caden Proctor that we have to get to. It is an S show and it's the end of March. This time last year or when all this realignment stuff last year happened, it was a little bit later into the summer. You know, it was kind of approaching season time. It made a little bit more sense. But the fact that this is happening now scares the hell out of me, Blake, that I think that we could, you know, we can have some big moves before, like well before the season starts.
You would think so, but there's still no technical movement from Florida State and Clemson. Suing somebody yes. doesn't mean that you win. And the truth is, here's the crazy truth, and I think Florida State fans are here too. Joe, I understand that they want to leave. They're still going to have to pay. I mean, unless they wait out this contract.
They'll have to pay something. But the other – I mean, we'll get to it. There's other, you know, stipulations here that there could be.
Right, but I mean, we still are in 2024. That wouldn't happen until 2026. So maybe you have an understanding of where teams are going. Maybe that things get announced. Mm-hmm. I would assume that things like Texas and Oklahoma, maybe if it's in the SEC, it's at SEC Media Days, like it happened when Texas and Oklahoma were coming into the league. But I do agree. Listen, even Nebraska's new AD, he was at Washington. It was announced today. He was at Washington for 5 months. He had a football team and a national title run. They're searching for a men's basketball coach, and he's just up and leaving Washington. So, I mean, like, it's not just the players. It's not just realignment. Everybody is moving. So we do got a lot that we have to talk about. None crazier than Caden Proctor, which we'll lead off with.
Yeah, we have covered a lot of weird stories over the year and a half.
This is the weirdest.
It is the most insane because it fully epitomizes every single problem, every single issue, every single projected strange scenario all bundled into one. It is insane. The amount of fake memes that have been put out there have been funny to keep up with, but Caden Proctor going back to Alabama is somewhat of a farce. It's a joke.
What about the banana video?
We're not gonna I sent you that last night. No. There's no analysis of the video of him eating a banana. There's no analysis.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to say a damn word to Iowa fans. I know that the only thing I would say is I saw multiple tweets where they were attacking his mother. That's uncalled for. Okay. Yeah. However, Joe, I got to be a little real with you here. I know he's still technically a kid in a lot of people's eyes. He's not. And I think that we have to view these type of moves like this. Look, I'm going to talk about him like I would talk about a pro athlete. At this point, I think we're going to have to start doing that. We can't, Joe, to move forward where we want to go, we can't continue to coddle people. And again, I know we're going to get into discussion. I'm sure we're going to get into an argument, but this was my whole point about enforcement. right? Like, and I understand that there's no legal recourse that you can do, but the conferences can. The conference can easily say, you know what? You're not playing in our conference. We have stipulations and guidelines if you want to play in our conference. Sue us if you want. Please, God, sue us. Okay? I just, it's so ironic what we've talked about the last 2 weeks. And it's ironic that it's Caden Proctor when you had Nick Saban on Capitol Hill literally a week ago.
Yeah.
Bitching and complaining about what's going on with the portal and what's going on in NIL. Joe, do you really think Caden Proctor is going back to Alabama and is not getting paid to do it?
I mean, we're going to discuss that, but I actually don't think it's really that deep. I think that there was the whole thing where he went on spring break with his teammates. I really think I don't know, but I'm willing to bet that most of this.
I'm hearing that Caden Proctor was throwing down some serious stacks on spring break. Like, there was a video that was released and deleted that was on Instagram. What are we discussing here?
Well, I'm sure that some of the money that he had from the car dealership promotion
in Iowa.
Yeah. But I think a lot of this was that he just hung out with his old teammates and he realized, you know what? These are my boys. I'm not really close with the guys at Iowa. Why did I decide to go back? I bailed down on a bunch of guys that I grew, you know, I started my college career with. That to me seems like what the perception was. I don't think that Alabama came to the table and threw him a bunch of money.
They might have not thrown him a bunch of money, but I do think that there's one thing that they threw at him and put him in a hole. I think Alabama said that they would drop the case to the NCAA about tampering if he came back.
That's possible. I don't know how that totally factors in. Let me say it like this.
I'm not guessing.
Okay. All right. I'll trust you on that.
Okay. And here's the thing. I got to be real with you. I talked about this last night on our show. You know what the NCAA can do and enforce? You want to start getting governance back in college football? I got a solution. We'll actually talk about that here today. Also, UNC, Joe, a lot of teams going after the Tobacco Row here in North Carolina. Could they possibly also be in the move? We got to talk about Clemson, who sued the ACC. Is the ACC done, Joe? I think is the biggest question that everybody wants to discuss.
I have a take on this that I think is going to go against the grain. I don't think that they're as dead as the Pac-12 was, and I'll wait to share my thoughts on that. I just don't think it's the same circumstance.
I don't think it is either. And, I mean, look, you still got teams like SMU who's moving up, who's going to have a lot of money behind them, does have a lot of money behind them. I don't think Correct. The ACC's dead, but we'll have to see. It's going to be interesting. All right. I have a feeling that this is going to be very, very interesting. A very interesting
show. Yeah, spicy.
Everybody do us a favor, though. If you're watching us, hit the like and share to all those social media groups. If you're on Facebook, share to all of those social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube, like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, I got to talk about our good friends over at BetOnline. They are giving out serious amount of cash for March Madness. Guys, go over to betonline.ag. Use the promo code. If you use the promo code BELIEVE50, they know that Blake and Joe sent you on by. BELIEVE50, BLEAV50. You can check out, get 50% off on a welcome bonus on your first deposit. Guys, you have a chance to win $50,000. Joe, what would you do with $50,000 cash right now?
I don't know, man. I think I'd go on a vacation.
I'd probably waste it on cocaine and hookers.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. I would probably have to spend it all on family resources.
Exactly.
By the way, we start T-ball today. So my son, Ben, I probably shouldn't be putting that in the same paragraph, but we start T-ball. I must tell you that T-ball gear is not cheap, buddy.
I don't think it's $50,000 expensive, but no, I'm sure that's – sure, it's going to be a big expense.
You would be surprised, like, because everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses here. I'm like, son, you need a bat, you need a glove, you need cleats, all this bat bag stuff. You're four, you know. Like, I mean, you're not Mariano Rivera, you're not Aaron Judge here. Like, calm down.
Yeah, just give him a pair of shoes, you'll be good to go.
Oh, dude, we might have to elevate him to coach pitch. I'm going to wait through today. I think we got a superstar on our hands. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I'm excited to get the update after.
oh, dude's hitting bombs. Dude is hitting outright nukes. And I'm like, if he didn't look like me, I'd be questioning if this was my son. You know what I mean? Like, he's got more athletic ability than I do. So, all right, let's get rolling. Everybody hit the like and share. Let's talk about our good friends at BetOnline. Stay with us.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back! A little loud on that one. All right, Joe, you know who is back, and going back to his old school, that is former left tackle or current left tackle. I didn't even know how you label this, but Caden Proctor, who went to Iowa after Nick Saban retired, he went back home, is going back to Alabama. I will give you the floor first on this. I think I'm going to get a little passionate, but what are your thoughts about Caden Proctor heading back to Alabama?
I said this to you on Twitter, and I'm going to just continually keep pushing the same argument the more times that situations like this arise. I know that it's not something that is actionable at the current moment. I understand that. I know that there is a lot of rules and regulations that we can't put in place right now because of how slow the political engine works and how slow just changes in college athletics work. But if these athletes sign NIL deals and they're agreeing to sign those deals to go to certain schools, they need to start holding them accountable to stay for more than a year, 2 years, something in line with that. If there is some way, and I don't know if we need collective bargaining to get here, I don't know if we need revenue sharing to get here, all of this stuff, there's so many steps that need to get there before we can get to this. But if guys are signing a deal that says I have to stay at X school for 2 years, we will not have a problem like the Caden Proctor situation. Because the reality of it is, and I agreed with what you said earlier, these young men are no longer held from being scrutinized for their decision making. This is different than the college football that we talked about 10 years ago. These guys are getting money. Yes, these guys are getting paid. They're young men, but they are still individuals that are getting paid for their services. It's okay for them to be criticized when they act as immaturely as this. So if they're going to act immaturely, there needs to be some form of contract that needs to start being standardized.
I understand your argument. I understand what you're trying to say and push for. But let me tell you, I feel as if, Joe, that a collective bargaining agreement is something that we talk about in the media a lot, right? Like it's something that we're pushing to try to fix it. Signing NIL contracts where players can't leave, even though, Joe, I mean, even there's an argument because we have, through the courts, got determination that pay for play is illegal, right? Like we have gotten that understanding. My problem is, how do we fix stuff now? Can we put a Band-Aid on things now? Joe, I'm not trying to be geopolitical here, but even in our society, there was a thing about defunding enforcement. And that is what the argument that we've had before in college football, mainly about defunding or doing away with the NCAA. You can't let this happen. Now, I do think that Alabama told the NCAA and others, if Caden Proctor came back, maybe the tampering that Iowa was doing, we'll just turn the other cheek. If the kid comes back, I do think that there were deep, deep room political moves being made by Saban and DeBoer and others at Alabama. That doesn't matter because, Joe, this is what we talked about last week with Saban. Saban's on Capitol Hill, okay, lobbying in reference to the portal and lobbying in reference to NIL. But then everybody turns a blind eye to some extent, especially at Alabama, Nick Saban included, when it benefits your school, right? Like when it benefits Alabama, they're defending Caden Proctor now, even though they hated him a month ago. The decision for him to leave Iowa and go back to Alabama, I got to admit something. It's soft. It's a soft move. But I understand you leaving and wanting to go back home when Saban retired, okay? The problem with that is, Joe, we live in a society right now where if you can just do whatever you want, there's no accountability that we had, Joe, when we were growing up. You know, like, for example, if I wanted to quit something, my parents would always tell me, hey, you started it, you're going to finish it. Now, if you don't want to ever play again, you don't ever want to do that again, that's fine. You started something, you have to finish it. I think that Caden Proctor's move is soft. Now, I'm not going to get on the Iowa fans because apparently he was getting paid for their collective. He didn't even go to practice. Like, he was receiving benefits to be at Iowa. The problem is, I'm telling you, he's getting paid to go back to Alabama. He's going to be a part of their collective. Joe, quite honestly, college football is broken. I see a lot of big-time media people, Joe, that we respect very dearly, that say, well, it's not necessarily broken. The hell it's not. It is completely broken. And every time that you tweet out or you put on social media, oh, let's go away from the NCAA, that's fine. My ultimate question always will remain, who does enforcement? I have a solution, Joe. Can I tell you what it is?
Mm-hmm.
I think that the NCAA and the SEC, if you really want to start like really putting some enforcement down and getting back on the right track, if I'm the NCAA, I go to Greg Sankey and say, listen, can we for one time join hand in hand, arm in arm, and say, we're coming down on teams for tampering and start popping teams for tampering? You got Caden Proctor, Joe, who quite honestly, 5 years ago, if we would have found out that he got tampered with, okay, by the Iowa staff, Iowa would have been popped immediately. Like, that would have not been tolerated. Now it's just, oh, hum. It doesn't matter. And kids being able to transfer is completely different than tampering. You can't have other coaches from other teams talking to players at other programs, telling them to come home. If I'm the NCAA, Joe, and I think that we as a media corps has to stand with them, even if we don't like them. I don't like them. Okay, like I do not. Again, I can't preach this enough, but for once, can we try to get back on track here? At some point, somebody's got to get popped for doing something that's not in guidelines. Can we have some type of just, hey, man, Caden Proctor, you can't do that.
I understand that there was an inevitable investigation and a self-reported tampering issue.
Self-reported it, Joe, because he's on a live camera saying that he got tampered with. Okay. I mean,
I understand all that. I just come down on, they hadn't conducted the investigation yet. Okay, so who is conducting it?
He admitted it.
Just because he admitted it, they still need to conduct an investigation before anything happens, before they do come down on any punishments. But I don't disagree. I'm just saying, though, that I don't disagree with what you're saying, though. I know a little bit back before I was defending and saying that it really shouldn't be considered tampering, just texting a kid to seeing how he's doing. But I understand now, after everything that's happened, yes, the conferences should be the ones who handle handing down a punishment for tampering. They should be the ones that are leading enforcement. If they catch something and if something is happening, they should be going forward the ones who handle enforcing such things, as you're saying.
If this would have happened to Alabama in the reverse order, they would be crucifying the kid on social media. They would be killing the kid
He's getting killed either way.
Sure, it would have been. I promise you, would have been 1,000 times worse than exactly like it was when he left Alabama to go to Iowa in the first place. It was abysmal. social media about the kid was absolutely insane. And for him to come back, I would never, anybody talks about me like I would have never gone back. It doesn't matter the school. But we have to come to a, Joe, we have to come to a place for college football. Financially, we're going to be fine. As a sport, we're going to be fine. There's no more money that you can really make. You're going to continue to make more money. You just cannot allow things like this to happen. Now, we'll talk about him on the field. It's a great addition, a re-addition for Alabama for him to be at left tackle. But if you think that Alabama wasn't tampering, when the kid goes on spring break with former players, what do you think happened? Let me tell you what I know happened. When those kids were on spring break, coaches were calling their current players and say, oh, okay, progress right there. Well, tell them I said what's up.
I think that's such an over-assumption that something like that happened. Yes, it is. Were you there on spring break with him?
Do
you
know that? They confirmed it. Joe, we literally have
what do you mean they confirmed it? Who confirmed that that coaches were calling Ken Proctor while he was on spring break? Who confirmed it?
Joe, do you really think that a kid like Caden Proctor was with old teammates on spring break and no coach at Alabama talked to him?
No, I think that the kid probably went on spring break and was hanging out with his buddies that he spent the whole first semester with, and he decided that I'm not that naive. I think that you're over-assuming. I think that this is – you're over-complicating what was – I know plenty of guys that I played with that would have been in the same situation. I had guys who transferred when I was playing in school that would come back and just show up on campus and would be in the dorms and hanging out during spring break or during winter break. Guys did that shit all the time. Guys missed their friends. That's what I think really happened, is he went on a trip with his boys and then he realized he made a mistake. I don't think anyone picked up the phone and tried to recruit him.
Let me completely end this for you right here.
Okay.
So how does he go back to the University of Alabama and not talk to coaches?
Well, that can be initiated by him. That could be initiated by him.
They don't have to accept him. Do you mean to tell me that he's transferring back to Alabama and the coaches didn't know?
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Hold on, I let you
that's
go.
That's not what I'm saying.
Oh. Well, when do you think that they talk to him?
I'm saying that he goes on spring break. He talks to his teammates. They convince him to come back. He then talks to the coaching staff. He reaches out to the
coaching
staff.
And you think that those players weren't telling coaches that they're convincing him to come back?
Yeah, but the players talking to the coaches is different than Cade Proctor talking to the coaches.
That's exactly what I just said was happening.
No, that's not. You implied
no,
that the
no,
you
I implied said the coaches that, were talking to players that were with him on spring break and said, oh, Cade Proctor's here. Tell him I said what's
maybe
up.
Maybe I misunderstood what you said.
That's exactly what I just said. My bottom line is, Joe, regardless, I am so sick and tired. Let me tell you what I'm sick and tired of. Every time something like this comes up, everyone wants to defend the player. It's time for a little bit of a reversal. It's time to say enough is enough. This is not the cherry on top with sprinkles like you're at a Sonic drive-in of what the sport has become. I don't know what is, and I am so pro-player. Joe, as of last night, we have AYS has 17 players with NIL deals. 17, okay? I'm giving my own money for players to be paid, okay? The bottom line is, though, I understand, even though that we're a part of it, that there's got to be regulations. Joe, I have an attorney on retainer for this specific thing, that we're not violating stuff. At some point, can we man the fuck up and say to ourselves, enough is enough? Because you can only say so much that, oh, well, it was legal in court. I don't give two shits if it's legal in court. What I care about is the health of the sport, and the health of the sport right now, week in and week out during the offseason, takes a massive dump on itself because they don't know what to do. It's like a baby with a diaper on. Oh, I poo-pooed myself. It continues to take a dump on itself.
I find it really ironic that a year ago you yelled at me saying that there needed to be – when I said that there needed to be regulations, you completely crapped on the concept of just having rules in general.
No, your argument was we have to regulate NIL. Was it not?
That's what this is. That's what this is. My argument is that we need to have rules for how NIL operates. And you said that because it's capitalism that there's no way to regulate it. That's not true.
You were trying to cap NIL.
I wasn't trying to cap it. I was trying to organize it.
We literally had a video, and the title of the video was Salary Cap. And it was you defending.
No. I never. And also, having a salary cap, there's nothing wrong with that. But the whole point of everything that I talked about last year, a year ago, was saying that we need regulations in place that prevents all of this free movement. Look, at the end of the day, Blake, I understand
What does NIL have to do with what Caden Proctor just did?
Because he takes money to go to Alabama. He takes money to go to Iowa. He's probably taking money and getting paid to come back to Alabama.
This is a portal issue, Joe. It's not an NIL issue.
This is a portal. This is both. They're interconnected. We can't talk about both things.
Fair.
We're not talking about both things. They're always going to be interconnected. But look, at the end of the day, Blake, and I can't believe that I'm the one who's saying this because you're usually the one who says this, we're too far gone for anything to get fixed right this second. And the only way that this gets fixed is that if more and more messy situations like this happen, and then in 5 years when there's actually been action, when these things actually move forward, that there is finalized new rules. I don't think that we're going to get anything. We're not going to get anything to change in the next 3 to 5 years. And I think in the next 3 to 5 years, Caden Proctor situations are going to continue to happen. And I don't disagree with you. I don't think
that's why you have to hit them with my solution is if you have something going on with tampering, you have to hit them immediately. Joe, what is wrong with suspending a kid if there's alleged tampering and then figuring out the situation? We do that. We do this in the legal system with.
Well, you're saying hit the. Are you saying hit the kid with tampering or hit the school with tampering?
Both.
You can't, you're not going to be, you're not going to be able to, just like with the NCAA in Tennessee situation where the courts ruled that the NCAA couldn't restrict a free market for a player. I don't believe that would be realistically possible for a conference to say to a kid because he's not an employee. He's not an employee there. He's not in a situation where they can say, you can't show up and play for a certain period of time. The conference can't suspend him.
What do you mean the conference can't suspend him?
For something like this, for operating in a free market where there's no guidelines or restrictions.
The conference has rules that coaches cannot tamper with other players on other programs.
They can hold the school. They perfectly agree that they should hold the schools accountable for
doing something like this. You can't hold the schools accountable and not the player.
You can't hold the player accountable for just acting in an environment that is a free market. He could not know that it's tampering or understand that it's tampering.
The kid knows it's tampering.
My big point here is that you can't restrict the kid because there is literally.
I'm not saying restrict him.
It is restricting him, telling him he can't play in your conference. That's a restriction.
No, I didn't say he couldn't play in the conference.
You're saying suspend
until you can do a very quick investigation on did you, Joe, you know what it is? 1-800 call a head coach. Do you have coaches that talked to him when he was enrolled at Alabama? Yes, I did.
You can't suspend the player. You can't. Joe,
we literally,
but not for these reasons, for academic reasons, for previously when marijuana was higher.
He talked about academics. How is he academically eligible at Alabama when he wasn't there for a semester?
People move and transfer easily all the time. It is not hard to remain and get back on an eligibility track, especially when you're taking freaking online classes. Like, most of these kids are just taking online classes.
You know what? I'm done. Fuck it. I'm done. Let the players do whatever they want. Screw enforcement.
But that's not the answer to this. That's not the answer to this. The reality.
It's the only answer that I keep getting from everybody in the media.
It's the only answer right now because, there's nothing.
Stand up and stop being a – not you. You know I love you. stand up and stop being a coward and let's do something about
it. But the NCAA put their hands in the air and said that anyone could transfer as many times as they want.
No, they didn't do that. No, that's bullshit. They went to a West Virginia court and a court ruling, a federal court ruling said you cannot limit how many times that they could transfer. What they didn't say in there was, okay, they have to have right academic standards. Tampering was not a part of that. Joe, if you like, can we get to a place where a coach on another school's program can't talk to players on another program? Can we say,
yeah, right,
that can't happen?
But hold the schools accountable. That's where the problems come into line. Let's
hold them accountable.
Okay. Well, the conferences need to be the ones who do it. I think that's where
we ain't going to do shit.
I mean, that's the problem there. That's the problem right there.
It's killing the sport. I don't care what you – it's killing the – Joe, how do you see Caden Proctor's situation and think to yourself that it's not killing the sport?
I mean, I don't think one singular instance of Caden Proctor doing this –
it's not one instance.
Well, it's the only known instance that we have. And if anyone else is doing it, it's back-end shitty players that are, you know, probably not going to get onto the field. But Caden Proctor is a unique, rare athlete that it's a little bit different. But I don't want to go as far as to say it's killing the sport. And frankly, actually, I would argue that extremes like this make it easier to have examples to point to and say, we can't allow this specific thing to happen. That no one could have written or projected or guessed that something like this could have occurred. So we need, this is a very specific random example that a kid transfers back, takes money, then leaves, and then comes back. Don't act like that. This is something that people knew was going to happen, that kids were going to go back and forth to the same school. Don't act like that. Don't act like you predicted this.
I didn't deliberately say that Caden Proctor was going back to Alabama, but I did tell you a month ago, if you thought that the Wild Wild West, if he was crazy now,
That's perfectly vague enough to say, yes, that there could be craziness. But my point is that we need specific horrible situations like Caden Proctor's to be able to point to be able to assess, address, and then fix these things in the future.
You got to fix the now, though.
But there's no way to fix it now.
If there is, I'm giving you a solution. I just gave you a solution.
Legislation is going to constantly, before we talk about him
being back on the field for Bama. Okay. If we popped a coach for tampering, do you think coaches would be a little bit more hesitant to do it?
Yes, obviously. Okay. But I just think what gets complicated though is that I don't know who is allowed to hand down enforcement anymore because of what happened with the NCAA and the Tennessee situation.
Well, you know who can, and nobody can do anything about it? The commissioners. And by the way, Joe, we still have where you can't transfer in interconference after this into the spring. So let me tell you, if a kid hit the portal in the SEC right now and wanted to go to another SEC school, he could get a waiver, but you know what he also could do? He could sue them and go to that school anyway. But the conferences have guidelines just like everybody else, but nobody looks at that. And here's another thing. Everybody looks at this situation as an NCAA problem. What do you mean? I see people say that the NCAA put their hands up. What do you want them to do? What guidelines could they have? Let me just ask this.
Okay.
Yes or no question. Were there truly, with everything that we're seeing going on in courts, was there really anything that the NCAA could have done when O'Bannon won his court case?
No. But
so why but are we constantly putting this on their shoulders?
Because they're the governing body of college athletics. They have to be. The conferences aren't governing bodies. They are
governing bodies. That's bullshit. Because
collections of schools that organize media rights. That's what the intent of a conference is.
Then Joe, then why do coaches get show causes all the time?
They obviously can enforce things, but the governing body over college athletics, the main governing body is the NCAA. So obviously they're going to be the ones that are pointed to and saying, What are you going to do to fix this? Because that's what their responsibility
is. They can't do anything.
That's my point, is that they are...
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're not going to have anything that's going to be capably done until the government, the federal government, gets involved and helps provide the new path for this. And I have no idea how long that's going to take. I don't really care to find out how long it's going to take, because I hate, you know, how the government works in politics. I hate how slow everything moves. But to kind of give a shitty response to this, there is no way to fix this right now. There's just not.
What do you think about Caden Proctor being back on the field for Alabama?
I mean, it's massive. We talked about how it was going to be tough sledding for them on the offensive line, and we didn't really know
right
who was going to be stepping in and how that group was going to look. And it's significant, even though Caden Proctor was a bit inconsistent last year, he's still one of the best, most physically gifted true freshman to play offensive line in the past decade. He showed and flashed the talent that he has. There's a reason why he could be a future first round pick, very early first round pick. So to bring him back is enormous. I mean, that was one of our biggest concerns, is how they were going to play in the trenches if they had the guys and the identity for them to be able to run the football, to be able to block consistently, and for them to not lose a step offensively, despite them, you know, making this transition to a new coaching staff.
I agree with you. One thing I do agree with you wholeheartedly there. I think it's a big addition that you get a left tackle back. Okay. I think that it helps Kalen DeBoer when it comes to the physicality of this league. Okay. You got a big dude, 6'8", 330, 340, whatever he is, that can play there. It's a big deal. On the field, Joe, I mean, look, he struggled early as a freshman. I'm not going to put that on him. A lot of freshmen struggle early. He was put in a very tough situation. He's really going to be a really good offensive lineman, okay? I do. Here's what I will say. I do hate it for Iowa, because now you were expecting him to be your left tackle, okay, going into spring, and now you got to hit the portal for another one. It's just you got richer, and I think that he's going to be a good player. I mean, everything I said about him before, even though I think what he did was very soft to some extent, I do think that he is going to be one of the best offensive linemen in the conference. I think he's going to be a prototypical top 20 pick when he goes into the draft. It's a big deal for Kalen DeBoer. And look, man, I'll give DeBoer this. Regardless of what I thought about him coming in, I will admit where I'm wrong. He has done a lot in recruiting so far, and even getting a guy like Proctor to come back, regardless of how it happened. I will say this, that's something that I'm monitoring about the University of Alabama. Alabama in the beginning years of Saban had to, or spent a lot of money in recruiting. We haven't really seen them have to do that a lot, and necessarily like what other schools have done, because, hey man, we're going to give you this. We're Alabama. We win national titles. They spending money right now, dog. If you want to see how scary Alabama can be when it comes to their booster base, you're about to start seeing it under Kalen DeBoer. And here's a good thing for Alabama. It's good that the boosters are backing him. I always questioned and thought, like, hey, man, you're transitioning from Saban into DeBoer. You know, would you make a move like this for him? And they did with him. I think it's a massive on-field thing. Joe, I even questioned if they move him into guard, to be honest with you. Because
I don't think they're going to do that.
I think they
he's their best offensive lineman, and he was a good left tackle.
I don't think he's their best offensive lineman, because I saw multiple times
Tyler Booker's probably their best. Yeah.
Correct. I just don't know how good he's going to be in space, right? And look, man, you never know how another coach sees things. He can move to right tackle, he can move to guard. I don't know. We'll see. I do think ultimately, though, you got to put a guy like him at left tackle. But it will be interesting to see where things fall with him. A massive addition.
Yeah, I think just, again, the easy takeaway from this, though, is raising the standard of the product on the field is, you know, we're not going to have any worries about Alabama's offensive line. I don't think we're going to even consider that they might take a step back. And I know that Parker Brailsford, who's young player from Washington, was undersized at like 270. I would assume all the eating that he's going to be doing at Alabama over the spring is going to help him get a little closer to 300 or 290. They're going to be, arguably with Caden Proctor coming back, I think that they might be the second best offensive line right behind LSU in the SEC.
I'm actually going to go to Georgia there.
Georgia's having some turnover. I like Georgia, but like the Cedric Van Pran.
Six seniors.
At offensive line?
Mm-hmm. And classroom seniors.
How many of them have played, though? Because Cedric Van Pran's going to the NFL.
All of them.
And Amarius Mims is moving on.
Some of these are stars. Ernest Green III is a sophomore. He's going to be their left tackle. Dylan Fairchild is a senior, redshirted junior, but senior. Yeah. Jared Wilson going to center. He's a redshirted junior. Tate Ratledge, a senior. And Xavier Truss, who came in for Mims last year, is a senior. But they got backups that are seniors too.
Yeah, Truss is fine. But I still think that Alabama is in that conversation at the very least.
Might be. We'll have to wait and see. All right, you want to get to this Clemson thing?
Yep, let's do it.
Joe, yesterday it was reported that Clemson is also now, along with Florida State, suing the ACC on a lot of this being the grant of rights deal. And look, it's pretty much a lot of the same stuff that's going on with Florida State. I mean, if you haven't kept up with it, I guess we can talk about that a little bit. But, Joe, Clemson suing the ACC, your thoughts?
Yeah. For me, I think it's really stupid that Clemson's trying to make this move. And I understand from the financial aspect of this, the way in which the Big Ten and the SEC schools, the amount of money that in the near future that they're going to be making compared to the ACC and the Big 12, it's going to be significantly growing. In the Ross Dellinger article on Yahoo Sports, it mentioned how within 3 years, earnings are going to be doubled for the Big Ten and the SEC, being $80 to $90 million in annual conference distribution, compared to the ACC, which is going to be 45 to 50. That argument to me makes a lot of sense for Florida State, because they are a program that is going to continually draw eyes from a national perspective. As much as it's a Florida-based brand, and it's still a national brand, it's one of those programs where I could go to most parts of the country, and I've even had this happen where I've just talked to random people and they're like, I'm a Florida State fan. It's like, cool, that's really random, but it kind of makes sense. For Clemson's sake, it's a little bit more regional. And I think that for how they're going to be successful in football, it benefits them, and it did benefit them that they were one of the few good teams in their conference. And then you have this automatic qualifier. If Florida State leaves, you are going to consistently be the best team that consistently goes to the college football playoff every single year. Will you be getting a little bit less money? Yes. But do you want to win a national championship? If that's the goal, you need to take advantage of the opportunity that you have the weakest and lightest path while all these other teams beat up on one another. I think it's really stupid. I think that they are going to go into the Big Ten. I don't think that the SEC is going to take them because of the footprint that they already have in that general region. They're going to go to the Big Ten. They're going to get swallowed up, and they're going to be a mid-tier team. They're going to be like Penn State at the best. I don't think that they're going to produce the results that they think that they're going to get by transitioning to a different conference.
You had my curiosity at the beginning of the show when you said you were thinking outside the box here on this one. Now you have my attention. The issue that I push back on you on is that their argument is not a conference problem. Like they even
– financial.
It's all financial. So if Joe, it feels as if that, look, being a national title contender is not what they're thinking about. I do think, though, you bring up an interesting point that, hey, man, like you could run the ACC if Florida State and Miami or North Carolina leave. Like you could be the dominant program there. I do think that that's very interesting. I don't think that they care, though. I think this is a lot like what Florida State's going through. Like, hey, man, we see, you know, teams in our own state, South Carolina for Clemson. And then you got Florida
and or Florida State looking at Florida, like, man, they're making millions, tens, twenties, millions more than we are. Thought it was interesting, though, Joe, that a lot of this with ESPN was redacted. Did you see that? Like, they had redacted and blanked out a lot of their contracts with ESPN. Very shady. Very shady. Because what are you hiding? Like, why did you have to redact your contract with ESPN? Why is that contract redacted? What's in that contract that you don't want anybody to see? I thought was here's what we talked about, Joe, a couple of months or 2, 3, 4, 5 months ago, was that there was going to be another school along with Florida State that sues the ACC. Mm-hmm. We didn't know who it was going to be. We thought it might be Miami. We didn't know. Okay. It was obviously always just going to be Clemson with a P. But now I think the biggest thing in them suing them yesterday for me was, why is everybody trying to be so secretive between this ESPN deal? And how much is ESPN finagling things to try to get some of these teams out of the ACC?
So this is where it gets really confusing and why, like, I almost don't even want to truly speculate, because ESPN doesn't have more money to go and pay a larger deal necessarily. Like, it is something that has constantly been talked about, how linear TV, the amount of available money to go and spend on these things is slowly starting to dwindle. So it's going to make it more difficult.
Can I ask you a quick question? Wouldn't they just shift it like what they did with the Pac-12?
Yeah, I would assume that they would, but the amount of money that they're giving to the ACC is far less than what they're giving to way far less. So what I'm kind of getting at here is, if they try these other conferences, if they bring them in, they have to then shrink the amount of money that is being divided amongst all of the other teams. So this is where I get confused on why these TV networks would be motivated to try and make these conferences move around. If anything, it's better for them to pay less money to a team like Florida State. So that's where it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know what they're trying to pull. I don't even know if they're even truly involved, if they just don't want to be held accountable for certain things. I know that they are, but it just doesn't make any sense to me why they would be willingly wanting to pay more money.
Well, I don't think that they would pay more money. Let me give you an example. Okay. And let me poke holes in your thought just very quickly. I wouldn't be able to, because I think it's a conversation we had about Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC. It's the same exact thing that they were going to do to the Big 12. Hey, when your contract runs out and those teams leave, we're giving you different distribution, right? Like, I don't think that they're just going to shift the money. If Florida State and Clemson leaves, hey, if we're paying you $60 million a year, we're going to pay you $40 million a year, okay, because those teams are out of the conference, okay? Like, their contract is up. So, or the way that it's even contracted, I think, is in 2026, like, there can be a renegotiation and ESPN can void the deal in 2026. That's why it got redacted, because ESPN doesn't want everybody knowing their business. I think it's more of a deep, dark conspiracy theory that ESPN is moving behind the scenes on getting a conference realignment. I really do think that all of this is being run by ESPN.
Yeah, at the end of the day, there is truth to what you're saying right there, where if these teams decide to move around, ESPN or Fox would want to be the one who is making that push and that decision, because they don't want to be paying for a rights deal for the ACC and you're paying for a crap product on the field. No one wants to pay to watch. There's a reason why the CW scooped up rights, because the value of those rights is slowly it's going down. As little as they're currently they're paying for it, we're starting to see that it's not garnering the viewership that they would hope for. So that's the only thing I could take away from this, is that, as you're talking about, in 2026 they would end their media rights deal, and earlier than they anticipated, and then they would then try to make a move to move one of these teams to a better conference where they wouldn't re-up the ACC, and then they would have a better product that's on the field in a different conference. It's the only way I can make sense of it.
That's all that they're doing. And because it gets more, let me tell you what they're ultimately doing. Okay. It's not rocket science. Florida State playing Wake Forest or North Carolina football wise doesn't draw the eyeballs that Florida State playing, pick a random school in the SEC.
Florida.
I mean, the two highest viewed games for Florida State last year, ironically, Florida and LSU. It wasn't even because the truth was both of those fan bases are going to draw more eyeballs and help compete with Florida State to get them where they need to go. It's going to be the same with Clemson. Ironically, remember when Spencer Rattler and the boys beat Clemson a couple years ago? Clemson's highest viewed game in the regular season. Guess what it was?
It was that.
South Carolina. So I think, Joe, what ESPN's ultimately trying to do is, why are we paying this much money when those teams can go to other conferences and the viewership will be more and everybody, ourselves included, can make more money? What do we care about Clemson and Wake Forest in week 3-4?
No one does, and that's I think what the realization is. I want to add this though, Blake. I don't think, as everyone's projecting, and I even stupidly tweeted it, I don't think that this means that the ACC is guaranteed to die. I don't think either. I don't think that it means that it's going to fall apart because of what the Pac-12 was dealing with regionally and situationally. It was going to be impossible for them as a conference to go and find replacements. It just didn't make a lot of sense. There were not a lot of very good options. But I look at the AAC and I see so many potential easy steals like they just did with SMU that they could go and pull
from. Tulane, they could get Troy.
Appalachian State, Coastal Carolina, which are coming from the Sun Belt. But in the American, you mentioned Tulane. I mean, UConn's an independent. I don't think that it would, and I know that UConn was previously just, they were previously just a member.
You could for basketball, though.
That would be desirable. So this is what I'm getting at is that you're worrying about, you're not, if you're the ACC, you're not losing any of the premier basketball and other sport entities necessarily, because like Florida State's not very good, Clemson's not very good. I know that Clemson's in the tournament this year. But you could turn around, and as long as you can keep North Carolina, which I know we're going to talk about in 1 second, there's a lot of opportunities to pull from all these teams in other areas that they'd be fine, because the Northeast and just the East Coast in general has good programs, not elite programs, but good enough programs where they're going to be able to recover. I don't think that the ACC dies. It's just going to look different.
I could see that. They got to act quickly, though. They got to act very quickly.
Well, they have an example to turn to of saying, look what happened to the Pac-12. We can't let that happen to us.
Well, they have an example. That's why they went into Dallas, of all places, and got SMU, a big-time market. I think it's a really good take by you. But here's an interesting thing. What do you do with North Carolina? So it's being reported. I forget who reported this, that North Carolina –
It was in Ross Dellinger's article at the end where he, in some of the people that he was talking to, asked who is going to be the most desirable team to take. And it's not Florida State and Clemson because of the SEC already having a footprint in both those states and the Big Ten
SEC does not have a footprint in North Carolina.
Well, in just the Carolina region.
Okay.
But the whole point here is that North Carolina provides basketball. It provides far more Olympic sports. So why would you go and add another football blue blood when you really don't really need that? You just need a well-rounded program.
Basketball blue blood.
Exactly.
The SEC network or SEC has one of their home bases in Charlotte. Let me say this. There are a lot of people questioning why would the SEC put one of their home bases in Charlotte. And this happened, I think 2 or 3 years ago. And I said, are you an idiot? Because they want to be there. They want Tobacco Row. There's a lot of deep pockets and money when you're talking about North Carolina, even Virginia. I do think that the SEC wants to be a part of that. The question becomes with North Carolina, Do they leave without Duke? Do they leave and go to another conference without Duke? Because, Joe, it's the biggest rivalry in college basketball. It's not even close.
I think what's more realistic, because Duke's a private institution, that if they leave, it's with NC State. Because there's, you know, the state.
You're talking about North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina. North Carolina would leave with NC State because of the state politics of, and you know, and the governor is not going to allow for this type of movement without both of them being in better situations. Well, they did. I bet he doesn't care about Duke,
though. They let the move happen in Oklahoma. They was like, screw Oklahoma State. We don't care.
It's a good point. They probably wouldn't have been able to do it. I think it would be more NC State than Duke.
Well, and they let A&M leave and left Texas behind when A&M went to the league 10 years ago. I agree with you. It's all about the eyeballs basketball-wise. I will tell you, because I've been in the SEC footprint and covered the SEC more than any other conference. You know what's funny, Joe? I put this poll out yesterday. Who would you rather, Florida State or Clemson, to be in your conference? Mm-hmm. Overwhelmingly, the answer was neither. We want North Carolina. Mm. It wasn't even remotely close. I mean, the poll reached over 11,000 people. I put it on Facebook as well. The one on Facebook got 107,000 views. But the one on Facebook, you got people in the comments, Joe, they don't want Florida State nor Clemson. They wanted North Carolina. I think because of the basketball prestige that it brings.
Yeah.
And I don't think Florida State would be good, and I think Clemson would be good. But I think not only does the conference probably want both conferences want North Carolina, I really do believe that I think Greg Sankey would go down on the shield and say, Clemson and Florida State, you can go to the Big Ten. We're getting North Carolina. I really do think that he would do that.
So here's my kind of final thought on all this. If we remember when the Pac-12 exploded and everything fell apart.
What, 3 weeks ago?
It was murmurs of the bigger programs seeking refuge in other situations. But the one that started all this was the school that we weren't even talking about. It was Colorado. Colorado was the initiator. After USC and UCLA left, they were the initiator in saying, we're going to go back to the Big 12. We're going to make the jump.
You know why? Look, I'm going to tell you something. Colorado saved the Big 12. And yeah, remember, we had that conversation, because if you remember the first 2 weeks when Prime was, you know, obviously they beat TCU, it was the highest view game the first 2 weeks of college football.
Yeah.
It's where Fox went in back-to-back weeks.
But this is my whole point, is that North Carolina isn't going to be the team that's, or the program that's making all these aggressive moves, that's doing all the suing and trying to say that you have no right to enforce this, this penalty.
They just going to move.
Once we have clarity on it, I think that North Carolina could be that first one to move. And I think that Ross Dellinger put them and Virginia in there for a reason in this article. Because I'm willing to bet that they're probably being the most quietly active in trying to find a new location.
Here's what I'm going to start telling every fan base that watches our show. If your team is in the ACC, Big 12, or was formerly in the Pac, there, from a fan perspective, there's more trash talk in the SEC and Big 10. Understand what you're coming into. Like, I don't think that North Carolina fully understands what they're coming into if they go to the SEC. I really don't.
I mean, that's a tough
Let LSU. Hey, listen to me. Let North Carolina come to Baton Rouge and lose. Joe,
I don't disagree. I think that Florida State fans are scrappy. Oh, so I'm not worried about Florida State fans, but North Carolina, man.
No, I'm not gonna say the word. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that some of the teams might be fine, but I think you bring up a good point, and I think that you got to be ready to come to fight, because it is it's not all cupcakes and rainbows in the SEC or the Big Ten.
No, and here's the big thing: they're making this as a basketball move. If they do make this move in the next, and I think he's on retirement watch anyway. you're going to probably be doing it with a new head coach football-wise. And what I will tell you is, even though you're a basketball school and basketball program, your conference, both conferences that you're going into, they are not. Okay? The bigger thing in all this, we can talk about basketball all the live long day, and that's cute and funny. Oh, basketball, March Madness. Fine. You're making your money from football, and you better start putting more resources into it, or you're going to get left behind.
Final little tidbit to throw in here. I think if if North Carolina does jump, I think it's the Big Ten, just because of their presence of other sports. You know, they are a university that clearly prides themselves in all the, you know, a lot of different athletic programs that they have. The arguably their best program outside of basketball is lacrosse. There's no representation for the SEC in lacrosse, unless maybe this is a move to say that, like, we've got some good club or programs SEC in the
team
SEC. Or
a lacrosse team this year.
Who are they? Do you know?
LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and I think A&M.
Division one, or is it
Division three? It was like it's not even Division three. It's like club.
So unless the SEC has an intention to turn those club programs to D1, I would strongly consider those that don't understand that North Carolina takes a lot of pride. Their alumni base takes a ton of pride in their lacrosse program. There's a lot of lacrosse alumni that, you know, go work big bank jobs in all over the East Coast. So that's something to pay attention to.
I'm going to disagree with you. I just don't think that Greg Sankey goes. Greg Sankey would sacrifice Florida State and Clemson or anybody else to get North Carolina.
He better start a lacrosse conference.
I'm going to tell you something. He would tell him to source that, go to stay in the ACC, go somewhere else, be independent. For lacrosse, he know when you're getting paid $20-25 million because
the money thing is
bringing you any money. You're gonna get $20-25 million for being in the SEC. Okay, he ain't goes.
I understand the money part of this, but like, there's not really that significant of a gap between what they'd be making between the SEC and the Big Ten. There's not that much of a. They're not that far. Actually, no. If anything, the Big Ten would be making more.
The Big Ten makes about $2 million.
Unless they can promise them something ridiculous, I'd be willing to bet something random like that could influence the decision, which is why I'm bringing it up.
Let me just say this. If North Carolina makes decisions off of lacrosse, they need to all fire themselves.
Oh, stop it.
You can't make a decision over lacrosse when football is going to generate you $20 more million a year. You can't.
Well, but if there's more money or the same amount of money in the Big Ten, you just go, okay, why don't I just pick the conference that's going to be maybe a little easier to win in basketball, and then we can also support the other athletic programs that are important to us.
North Carolina's going to be in the SEC.
All right. I don't agree. We'll see.
See you on Sunday, guys. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.